The great John Ten Bush, master teacher, philosopher, and maybe part madman, would grit his teeth so hard you could hear them grind even if you were in the last seat in room 214. Through clenched jaw, he'd growl, "Damn it!" Insert terrified Frosch's name here. "I didn't teach you that." He wanted us in intellectual lockstep with him. He was a fierce grammarian. He was herding 30 freshmen toward command of language and didn't want to lose a single sheep. He brought urgency and tenacity, not to mention a softy felt eraser saturated with chalk dust that he'd hurl at a mop top 70s head that unintentionally dozed upon an open Harbrace College handbook of grammar. You would think he was training us to duck bullets in Vietnam. It was life and death. It meant that much to him that we learned and got it right. The Jesuits who ran the school knew full well that JT sometimes went nuts. They liked it. Parents, certainly our dads, would have thought it was cool that he was so tough, though they'd hope their son hadn't been the kid falling asleep to the sound of the massive clunking radiators. They would laugh if their son had been awoken to find his hair white with chalk. "You deserved it," they might say. "Now go wash your hair and then wash my car." JT was one of many such men in my life. My grandpa Domenico, who emigrated from Italy with his brother when they were 16 and 17 years old, would hit his fist on the card table so the ashtray bounced just a little. "Damn it, Dini, why you bid 27 on that lousy hand?" Dad, who dreaded house repair, would let loose a son of a bitch when, while pretending I was Mickey Lolich throwing fastballs against the side of our brick ranch, I'd put an errant rubber ball through yet another storm window. And in college, the vaunted philosophy professor, Dupre, called my room at 7 o'clock a.m. to give me a tongue-lashing for my dereliction. When I pointed out that he'd been virtually inaccessible for weeks, he slammed the phone down on me. Priests, coaches, bosses, it was routine for men to blow up at boys or other men. For millennia, it was vital that men learn and assert control. An occasional overuse of authority was considered a small price to pay compared to disorder on a battlefield, while fighting a fire, or when the crops or hunt were threatened by all elements. JT, Domenico, Dad, Dupre were all playing out an ancient role of preserving culture and order, authority and respect to keep us all together. In my continual desire to learn and share learning, I invite you to share your sociological and personal input. Girls and women, I wonder if you felt you experienced these same irrational male explosions, or was this primarily a man-to-man thing? Men, do you still erupt in these ways or fight to control this quote-unquote natural urge to assert your authority, to keep the trains running and order in the court? So what did we, at least men of mine in many prior eras, learn from these male authority figures? 1, authority is always right, even if crazy. 2, shut up and take your punishment. If you didn't deserve it this time, there were tens of other times when you did. 3, authorities, especially men, have the right to control their car, house, TV, classroom, court, operating room, taxi cab, etc. So hang in there, boys, because when you're a man, you'll have the same right. Frankly, I wish we had a little more of number 2. We're so litigious and so victim-oriented as a society. We've forgotten that our kids need to be pushed sometimes, and so do we. We take things so personally and take constructive criticism so poorly. We could stand to redevelop some resilience in our kids and staffs and ourselves. But here's the larger point about best self-leadership. Points 1 and 3 are utterly dysfunctional for the 95% of the situations we're in. Authority is so obviously not always right. Great business cultures, governments, schools, teams, and even churches thrive with a healthy questioning of authority. And great organizations demand authority figures who work really hard to check their command control, their territorial quality, their "I make the rules around here" tendencies that we have seen modeled for centuries. The extreme responses to the Occupy movement underline the idiocy of the old ways. With patience, dialogue, and clarity, we can have order in 21st century America without brutality. And in the mainstream, we men need to learn a new way of consistently earning respect rather than erratically demanding it. My bottom line, especially for my male peers and me, is this. There's a JT, Dominic, Dad, Dupre in all of us. How could there not be after all the models we've had? Many, including the 4 I named, were really awesome men, but they had inherited a dark streak, some factory-equipped male wiring that's outlived much of its usefulness. The real battle is not with those who steal my remote control or question my authority, but with my inner dad who feels he needs that control. I'm learning to recognize it and let it go. Maybe you are too, to lead with your best self. A quick postscript. Women, I'm enormously open to featuring a guest women's RFL reading for leading on how authority may characteristically play into the way women lead with their best self. It's not something I feel capable of writing.